House Committee on Environment and Energy, Hearing Room E, February 6, 1987.
Meeting of the House Environment and Energy Committee to order. Representative Peterson, I think, stepped out just a minute, so the clerk will note that everybody is here. Let me indicate briefly our procedure today. We have before us the major item, House Bill 2472, which is the gorge bill. We will have a hearing on that with testimony of various people, and I do have the sign-up sheet for those of you who want to testify on it. And then when we get through with that, we'll go into work session on this bill with the hope of getting it out today. Keep in mind that it still has to go to Ways and Means, and then once it gets by the House, it still goes to the Senate. We are dealing here with, in part, an interstate compact, and some of this, and that will be explained by the representatives from the governor's office, has to be identical to what it is in Washington State. Let me also indicate that we are talking here today about the creation of the commission and not about the land use issue. That will come later in a separate bill, and as I understand, it hasn't even been drafted yet. But I would ask those of you who want to give testimony on this issue, do not get in the land use issue because we're not prepared to discuss that today on this bill. So as I understand it, we may want assurances from the governor's office that the legislature will be given adequate opportunity later in that other bill to look at the land use options and what our role as a state and the local government role will be in reference to the larger issue. At this point then, and I will open the hearing on House Bill 2472, and I'll ask Diane Perry and Joan Smith come forward and represent the governor. As you'll note, this is an issue on the governor's 60-day agenda. The bill has been introduced at his request. They also have several amendments, and I think they'll explain those to us. I'm told that they look longer than, that is, don't look at the length and indicate the significance, I guess is what I'm told, or something like that. But we'll let them explain it and ask them to explain it to us. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Diane Perry, legislative liaison for Governor Goldschmidt. We appreciate your willingness in working with us to move ahead with the first step in complying with the Columbia River Gorge National Scenic Area. The amended bill before you today has been drafted in cooperation with Washington State, with Legislative Council, and with the Attorney General's Office. House Bill 2472, as amended, is the legislative enactment and ratification of a Columbia River Gorge Compact in accordance with the Columbia River Gorge National Scenic Area Act of 1986. Because it is a bi-state compact, both states must enact and ratify identical language. The bill represents the minimum legally necessary to implement the commission under the federal act. Section 1 is the bi-state agreement, and the remaining sections of the bill are necessary to clarify Oregon's statutes and carry out the provisions of the compact. From this point on in my testimony, it briefly reviews the Columbia River Gorge Scenic Area Act, and I know you all have all seen material on that. Basically, the point that we're to in terms of process is for the states of Oregon and Washington to adopt the interstate agreement creating and empowering the commission. At that time, at least 4 members from each state must be appointed to the commission for it to become effective. The law authorizes each governor to appoint 3 members, and the governing body of each of the 6 gorge counties is authorized to appoint 1 member. Once the commission is established, local county government must then adopt and implement land use ordinances consistent with the management plan prepared by the Forest Service and the Commission. We request adoption of House Bill 2472 as the first step allowing Oregon to move ahead to comply with the federal act. Thank you for your consideration, and if y'all have questions, I'll be glad to try and answer them.
Representative Parkinson.
I've got one quick one. On the bill as printed, it mentioned compact, but then it went on to describe the agreement. I noticed in the amendments it says compact, I think, pretty much throughout. Is there a difference between a compact and agreement?
I'd have to ask Jeanette Holman if she's still in the room.
Jeanette, why don't you come up and stay up here for us?
Jeanette. I knew I wasn't going to get out of here. Jeanette Holman from Legislative Council. There's not a, well, I suppose there could be a technical difference. Agreement may not be ratified by Congress or something like that. It could be a less formal thing. The compact is much more formal, usually, than an agreement, per se. This is definitely a compact.
Compact, yeah.
Thank you. Joan, did you want to give testimony, too?
Just a brief statement. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Joan Smith, member of the Oregon Columbia River Gorge Commission and member of the Interim Task Force on the Gorge Legislation. I am here today representing the members of the Oregon and Washington Columbia River Gorge Commissions. The statutes which establish these commissions, and which, by the way, abolish us if you pass this, charge the commissions with preserving, protecting, and enhancing the scenic, recreational, historic, and cultural values, and ensuring that all gorge resources are utilized only in a manner compatible with its unique qualities. We believe that passage of the Bi-State Compact is the next and vital step in the continuation of that stewardship and the accomplishment of the law's stated purpose. The current commissions are advisory only. We have worked diligently over the years to promote careful resource management, to persuade and cajole both individuals and the over 50 public authorities with jurisdiction in the gorge to protect the gorge. We have had successes and failures. What we have learned is that there needs to be a single management plan for the gorge, that the plan can only work if it is made by a local, state, federal partnership, has the authority to require all interests in the gorge to adhere to it. The plan must recognize that strengthening the economy of the gorge is vital to our region and to the protection of the gorge, of gorge resources. Only federal legislation could accomplish those goals. Passage of the Bi-State Compact legally establishes the local, state, federal partnership by way of establishing the commission. Then the work begins. We ask you to be trustees of our unique heritage, the Columbia River Gorge. We urge passage of the Bi-State Compact. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions of the two representatives of the governor's office? If not, what I think we might do briefly, if we can, we have a number of witnesses, but I think, Jeanette, with the two of you there, you might briefly, we're not in work session yet, so we're not considering these amendments, but I think it would help so that would help people in the audience if they give testimony to briefly indicate, since there's several pages, what these proposed amendments actually do to the act, to the bill.
How do you want to do it? Well, why don't I try and go through it, and then Jeanette can help me out, keep me on track. Basically, as I understand it, Section 1, which is all the articles of the compact, is the legislative enactment and ratification of the compact, and that's the language that must remain identical with what's being passed in Washington. It does in Article 1, for instance.
Yes, Representative Parkinson.
So I understand that you say that this first part must be identical.
This is the part that must be identical. Both which states.
Which sections?
It's Section 1.
Article 1.
Article 1.
Where, beginning where that line goes across the page to where the line goes across the page again on 5.
Okay.
So that's not very sophisticated, but it's through Article 5.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee,
yes.
I might...
Excuse me just a minute. Yes.
For clarification, could we know where this bill, has it passed one house or the other in the Washington legislature?
That's just what I was going to tell you. I believe that at this point it is approximately in the same place in the Washington legislature as it is here. It's in committee. They hope to pass it out today to the floor of the first house. That's my understanding as of this morning.
That's my understanding.
60-day agenda and a 90-day legislation.
Yes, Representative Anderson.
I assume that possibly then, because of the slight differences that may arise, that this would be worked out at conference committee and then be re-ratified by both House, Senate, or whatever.
Well, as I indicated earlier, it still has to go to Ways and Means. It will then have to go to the Senate. If there are differences... we can work those out in conference. I would hope that we could make it as identical as possible, since it is a compact, unlike the agreement we had with the bill earlier we considered on interstate radioactivity, 23 Hospital 2338, which was an agreement. There could be some modifications. This compact, I believe, has to, at least that portion that you've indicated, have to be identical before you get through. Now, so we, everybody understands, if you look at the original, well, look at the engrossed version, the line starts, the line across the page starts on line 10 of the first page of LC2193. Everybody have this? Where the line starts on the first page, line 10, over to and including on line 22 on page 5. That's the part of the bill that, as I understand it, has to be identical.
All righty. In the beginning of the compact, it also says it's with the consent of the Congress. It's my understanding that in the federal act, Congress has already consented to the agreement, assuming that both states consent. In Article 1, the end of the first paragraph, the Columbia River Gorge National Scenic Area Act is incorporated into this agreement by reference.
Okay.
And that is required by federal law that that be done. Going on to page 2, my understanding here, and Jeanette can help me out perhaps, this is language common to interstate compacts, which allows these kinds of entities to choose the personnel system of whichever state they want to use. Likewise, if you look on down in Section E, that provision provides for the legislature, it provides for the commission to expend funds not appropriated by the two state legislatures. In other words, if they get gifts or grants or whatever, they have the authority to expend those funds.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Parkinson.
One quick question. The Washington personnel would be covered under Washington state retirement systems. They could be covered under Oregon's or Washington, one or the other. They'll pick.
My understanding is the commission selects which state it wants to, which state system it wants to utilize. And Jeanette, maybe you can add to that.
Yeah. That's correct. It's given in here and also in later on in some of the sections that are not included in the compact, gives the commission the authority to select our public employee retirement system or our public benefits, you know, for health insurance and stuff. They may either pick ours or Washington, but my understanding is that they would pick all for, you know, they would either use one or the other. They wouldn't split it.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Parker.
Just a quick follow-up. There's nothing in our statutes that would prohibit this. In other words, can Oregon have PERS people that reside in a different state or whatever?
Yeah, that's why we had to add the section at the end of these amendments. Let's see. I don't have a copy of them. Section 5 of this of the Act on page 6 is what would allow the Commission to do that.
As I understand, Representative Parker, this particular issue is that the Commission can choose either one of the two systems, or I assume it could even come up with a third one.
Correct.
And the basic reason for that, if we were to put in our statute, they had to follow ours on our side, and they had to follow, you wouldn't have a system. There was no way you could do it that way. Is that correct? You couldn't have two separate personnel systems for their employees.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. It's also my understanding from the Attorney General's office, this is common to interstate compacts, this kind of language. It's what's normally done.
Okay.
Section G on the top of page 3, as I understand it, the federal law requires that the commission adopt bylaws and rules to govern its operations based on whichever of the state's laws are stricter. All right.
Okay.
Okay. Article 2, the commission membership is verbatim from the federal law. Moving on to section D, page 4, at the top of the page, the procedure for filling the terms is prescribed, and the terms will be staggered once the commission has begun. Article 3 establishes the effective date of the compact, And basically, that's after ratification by both states and the appointment of the first four members of each state. Both states have to appoint at least four members before this act actually goes into effect. Moving along to page 5, top of the page, section D, the commission's budget and expenditures are apportioned equally between the states. This is a commitment for both states to equally fund the commission, and I believe that's the case now with the existing Columbia River Gorge Commission. The severability clause, article.
Representative Anderson.
Could we go back to Article 4, F, line 11 on page 5? Read, the accounts of the commission shall be open at any reasonable time for inspection to persons authorized by the commission and duly designated representatives of governments contributing to the commission's support.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I've been advised that section F, we might well pass it fine, but it would never hold in that state of Oregon. Financial records are only closed by the Department of Revenue and the Department of Human Resources for certain people on public assistance, and that it, at least it's been wide practice that our financial records of all state agencies are open to the general public. Just want people to be aware of it. I don't know that I'm prepared to do severe damage, but perhaps it could be further examined in Ways and Means or somewhere as we go along or brought to the attention of Washington.
Well, I appreciate it, Representative Anderson. In fact, you mentioned it to me on the floor this morning, and I did talk with a couple of people in Ways and Means, and they said that they would take a look at it. I think it is an issue. It's a legitimate point to raise.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, the federal act does say that the open meetings law and open records law, the most restrictive provisions of either state will apply. I don't know if this is because of Washington's law that it came out this way. I will check and somewhere along the way let you know whether this is just, I think what you're concerned about is the authorized by language, and that may just be a drafting thing that means more, says more than what they really mean, too, for that matter. And I will check for you to find out what really applies in Washington, because definitely under our law, ours is much more open than this is.
We will flag it. It's a good point.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Parker.
I know we're on a fast track, but if it's a matter of concern that isn't passed in Washington yet, it looks like before it would pass it, we'd want to take care of it.
Well, as I said, I've talked to Ways and Means people. They're aware that it's an issue, and they will look at it anyway and make the adjustments if it is a problem. And so I have that promise. Matter of fact, they're not going to let it out if they think it's a problem. Please continue.
Thank you. Article 5 is a severability clause, which apparently is necessary in Washington, not in Oregon, in that we already have a general severability clause on the books. When you reach line 22 on page 5, that is the end of the compact. From then on, what we're doing is working within Oregon statute to accommodate this compact. Section 2 is a restatement of the authority of the governor, the Gorge Commission, all state agencies and counties to carry out their duties under this federal act and under this bi-state agreement. Moving along, again,
yes, Representative Anderson.
Section 3, plot page 6, starting at line 4 and 5, we generally have two methods on appointments. One method we've used quite commonly is here asserts the pleasure of the governor. The other method we use is we may be removed for cause. So the examples are the Land Conservation Development Commission can only be removed for cause, for example. We're making some policy here as to the potential there of removal of commission members. remove for cause is much more restrictive, of course, than the pleasure of the governor. I just thought the committee members ought to be aware of that. I don't know that I have any huge feelings one way or another, but this is a less restrictive designation.
Yes, thank you. It's a question. Would you, either one of you, care to respond to that? Has this been an item that's been discussed by the governor's people, this particular phraseology or approach?
To my knowledge, it has not, and maybe Jeanette can address that.
I have no idea whether it's been discussed between Michael and the people in Washington or not. The third route that we do when we're drafting stuff is to leave it out altogether, and not, and in which case it's generally only for cause that they can be removed. It's been interpreted that way.
So if you simply say that appointed by the governor and subject to Senate confirmation, that would, and that be left at that, would be the case?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions on that, Representative Anderson? Fine. Continue, please.
We've already addressed Section 5. Again, that's spelling out that employees of the commission can participate in either state's retirement system. Section 6 amends the land use law 197050 to allow the counties to represent themselves in this land use planning function. Evidently, that was put in the statute originally to allow LCDC to be the planning agency within interstate or bi-state compacts. My understanding from both Jeanette and the AG's office is that what this allows is that the counties themselves represent themselves in the planning process with the commission, and LCDC is not a third player in that. Evidently, this is a technical amendment. There will be a land use bill that will come later that will address all of this more specifically.
Anyone have any questions on that? I think that is an important statement. Why don't you state that again, Diane, I think, so that everybody understands what's being said here, please.
Okay. When the land use law was created, LCDC was designated as the agency to plan in for the state in interstate or bi-state compacts. What this is doing, because the counties will participate directly with the commission, you know, you've got the three counties along the river. What this is doing is saying the counties will represent themselves rather than LCDC representing the counties before the commission. It's my understanding the counties, in fact, will do their own planning, adopt their own ordinances, and get the ratification of the commission, not LCDC.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Ekus.
The counties represent themselves by virtue of being specifically designated membership on the committee, on the commission, and the commission essentially represents the state, so therefore the counties are representing themselves instead of LCDC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because it doesn't refer to counties in here, it just says commission.
Right. But the reason this language was inserted originally, as I understand it, was so that in other bi-state agreements or interstate compacts, that LCDC would represent whomever.
Yeah.
And so what this is doing is allowing the counties to do it, taking LCDC out of the picture.
Joan, go ahead, and then Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Ekus, as I understand it in our discussions leading up to this, it clarifies not the membership of the commission, but removes the possibility that there will be two separate land use processes going on for every decision the commission makes.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, continue.
But what this really says is not we're saying the counties take over the role. What this says is that the commission performs.
Do you want to add to that?
Yeah. Okay.
And that's more than the counties, and I think we need to recognize that it's all nice that we're saying the counties do it because by virtue of the commission, but what this really says is the commission rather than LCDC does it.
Yes, right.
Approves.
Exactly, yes.
Well, it says perform the function of this state.
I think that when the land use bill originally was passed, they saw LCDC as being the people that would basically represent Oregon in an interstate compact. They would be the commission to represent Oregon in an interstate compact. This is saying it's not LCDC, it is
The commission.
The commission, correct. And in, yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Just a minute, Representative Anderson's first.
Well, Mr. Chairman, this is not in the section, of course. It has to be identical state of Washington, right. Obviously. I get a feeling that we may be rushing to this particular section, having not even heard from the Attorney General, for example, with his advice on how we operate with our state land use planning in regard to the commission or the counties and so on. And that's a large issue that will be before this committee and may be somewhat controversial. My reading of this is that really that this legislative assembly by this action is taking a large step that in some way gives the commission control over land use planning in three of our counties. And I guess I could interpret it as notwithstanding all of our goals. But
Representative Anderson, I'm troubled by it too, because I think it seems to be saying, if you look at the language, a little bit different than what maybe the perhaps the explanation is. Let's continue with this and we'll move on. I think if when we get through that there, this issue and perhaps one or two others, we may simply have to continue this until Monday. I think it's a big issue too. Go ahead.
Well, that was my concern, is that the federal legislation exempted those cities, and now we're putting those cities
no,
in.
We're not.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it.
No, county.
Well, okay.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Representatives Anderson and Gilman, if you look at the language where we're making the exception, it refers to the commission as the Land Conservation and Development Commission, not the Gorge Commission. What we're doing is amending the land use statute, which now says that LCDC, the Land Conservation and Development Commission, will perform planning functions in interstate compacts. That's the law now. All we're doing is saying LCDC will continue to perform planning in interstate compacts, except this one. LCDC will not be the planning agency in this compact. That's all it does.
See, that's where I was having, I was disturbing what commission
right.
referred to.
I had trouble with this too, and I questioned the AG's office on it extensively, because I thought that in fact what we were doing was allowing those counties, we were cutting them loose. He said no, they are still involved in the land use planning process in Oregon. All this says is that the Land Conservation and Development Commission will not be the planning agency in this interstate compact. That's all it does.
Okay. Any other questions on that? We'll come back to it.
Okay.
Please continue.
Thank you. Moving along to page 7, section 7. Essentially, that's a transitional section that establishes the staggered terms. Section 8 abolishes the existing Columbia River Gorge Commission, effective with the appointments, the four appointments from each state and the ratification of this agreement by both states. Page 8, basically what we're doing there is cleanup type language. It abolishes, it repeals the statutes dealing with the existing commission, makes sections 9, 10, 11, and 13 effective on the date of this act. That's it. Are there any additional questions?
We'll come back to these pieces, so will you two be around for the rest of the hearing? Jeanette, if you need to leave, we can come and get you, come back and get you when we go into the work session, if you'd like.
Call me if you need
Because
me.
I think there are a couple of these, including that we want to have some additional discussion about.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. At this
thank
point,
you.
At this point, I'd like to ask Representative Paulbush to come forward. We're going to try to dig up Representative Kotelski. I think he's in Human Resources. The major part of the Gorge area is in Representative Paulbush's House District, and a piece of it on the west end is in Representative Kotelski's district in Multnomah County. Welcome, and pleased to take your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. if Representative Tulski had heard you say only a piece of his of this lies within his district, he would be very upset. We had a slight disagreement over just who had the majority. Since I'm here and he's not, I'll maintain that you're essentially correct, and we'll go from there if we may. For the record, Wayne Fobwich from Hood River. I never thought that I had hoped that someday I would be in this position here before you with this issue. Back in 1977, when I was a freshman legislature and proposed the bill that outlined the boundaries of the Columbia Gorge, this was a faint hope in the far future. I guess that's either an indication that things really do work or that I've been here too long, one of the two. But I'm glad that we have come to this point. I would just give you maybe a little local color as to the difficulty within the gorge area of having arrived at this particular point. It has been a major issue now for on the front burner for 4 years. There have been numerous efforts to try to come to agreement between the two states on how to utilize one of the most magnificent natural resources anywhere in the continental United States.